You ready? Hello and welcome to Starter Set, you lucky people! My name's Ed Sylvester, this is
Sam Bradley,
and welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons. Now, many of you, I know, ask on a weekly basis, and this isn't at all made up or fabricated, hey Ed, how can I get more of Starter Set Social upon my life? Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a treat for you. None other than the co-host Samuel Esquire Bradley is going to take you where you can get those bits of information. Sam, give him the socials.
Well, now, see, I've got actually an assistant here with me. I'll just bring him in. This is Great Mandibles, who you might remember from a couple of shows ago. And we thought it'd be nice, because he's made a sizable donation to the Starter Set Trust Fund. Great Mandibles would like to read the social media links this week. So without further ado, here's Great Mandibles. That was him, not me.
So, you can find them on Instagram at Starter Set Podcast, Starter Set Show on Facebook and Twitter. You can also find all the old shows plus any new releases at starterset.buzzsprout.com.
Thanks, Mandibles.
Excellent. Thanks, Great Mandibles.
You're welcome.
Wonderful to have you on the show.
Oh, it is. And I mean, I'm not saying he won't pop in again because he's here now. And we've got him liquored up.
I can see him floating around the back there. What's he doing with that stick?
We don't talk about what he does with the stick. On with the show.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, back again. We're looking at more subclassical. These are the subclasses that are coming out, released by Wizards of the Coast through their Unearthed Arcana articles. This week, we look at a barbarian and a monk subclass. And for the first time in this little foray that we have, this arc of information, Sam is going to break bread and heads as he goes into the barbarian.
I like that a lot. Okay, so the barbarian subclass that we're looking at this week is the Primal Path. So at the third level, you gain the Primal Path feature and the Path of the Wild Soul. Emphasis on wild, because basically what this is you're a barbarian that's more in tune with the Fae, shall we say? That's a rhyme. More in tune with the fray, so it's that unpredictable sort of, as Ed said, in one court, everything happy is ecstatic, and in the other court, everything sad is awful, and there's a sort of spring, summer, autumn, winter divide between the both. And this sort of links in a lot to that in terms of it's a barbarian subclass that embraces a lot of the magic with a K, so you know it's good. It's like supernatural.
Nice. You can get that cereal wherever you find some good shops. Supernatural cereal bars. They're fantastic.
There you go. So, at third level, you get the lingering magic effect.
Right.
And this is basically you're so touched by magic that you can detect magic, even if it's around, your body reacts to it. So you can use detect magic without using a spell slot or any of the components that you would usually need.
That seems useful.
Yeah, as a third level ability, it's a pretty, welcome to the party, pal. You can sort of see any magic as a glow, and the colours correspond with a school of magic. And I think it's down to the DM for you to choose for them to work that out.
Yeah, this is based on you actually glow, don't you? As the barbarian, you start
that's
emitting
it. Yeah.
Yeah, like a weird canary in a mine.
Yeah.
And then the barbarian just falls down.
Yeah. The barbarian in the mine.
I know that there's something a little bit more tastier down the road though, Sam. What's next?
Oh yeah, the next one is Wild Surge. hold the jokes, because I can't joke and do serious stuff at the same time. So this is also a third level ability. So magic can erupt from you as you rage. Now, any barbarian worth their salt will be raging. It's the go-to move whenever you get into a fight. Really? Come on. Let's be honest now. Sam's doing it. We're cutting through. You're going to be raging. So magic erupts from your body. And the Wild Surge, it requires a saving throw, I believe. DC equals 8 plus your proficiency, plus your constitution modifier.
Yeah, I mean, that's bang on. This is slightly reflective of the Sorcerer Search table, right?
Yeah, sort of. You can roll a D8, and some of these are really, really cool. I'm not going to go through them all, because you've got places to be. If you roll a 1, like a necrotic energy bursts from you. Yep. Every creature within 30 feet takes 1d10 of necrotic damage,
okay,
which is really cool. Number 2, you can teleport up to 20 feet to unoccupied space. Any unoccupied space you can see. And you can do this on each of your turns as a bonus action, I believe, until your rage ends.
Yep.
So, super useful. What were the other ones? Number 5. I just like this because I think I watched Guardians of the Galaxy the other day, and the first one where they escape from prison and Groot grows those shields against the bullets. This is, if you roll a 5, plant life temporarily grows around you until your rage ends. The ground within 10 feet of you is now classed as difficult terrain.
Nice, that's useful. So yeah. none of these are negative so far. Are there any bad ones?
Not that I've seen. If you roll an 8, you can just shoot a brilliant white light from your chest, unibeam style. It's 5 foot wide, 60 feet long, and any creatures that are sort of, it's like a big powerful torch, any creatures in the line have to make a constitution saving throw, or they take 2d8 radiant damage, which at third level is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a tasty amount of damage, especially when you're running around raging out, so that even the damage that you're taking. So this is that, or it feels like taking that unpredictability of the Feywild and putting it into a mechanic, right? Of the
essentially,
D8. Yeah. What's going to happen? You don't know, but it's going to be good and things going to go crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Precisely, Edward.
I like that.
See, I get all formal when I'm doing the proper bit of the show. It's easy to sit here and take the piss. This is really difficult.
Next up, what we got?
At 6th level, you get magic reserves, where you can channel the magic surging through you into other creatures. So you can touch a creature, roll a d4, and the creature can recover an expanded spell slot of level equal to the number rolled, which is, again,
nice,
silently useful. But wait, there's more. If the creature you touch can't recover the spell slot, it'll gain hit points equal to 5 times the number rolled. So this is kind of like the monk thing we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, where you can just sort of, the right hand giveth, the left hand taketh away, and you can sort of, boom, punch someone back to life.
Yeah. The Way of Mercy monk.
That's the one.
That is the one.
Yeah,
nice. Well, that's always tasty.
Yeah.
Can you do this to yourself?
I don't think so. I think it's just someone else.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. Well, that's pretty damn tasty. I like that.
Put in a bit of a, like, if you want to be a barbarian with a bit of something between the ears, not to be that guy, but a bit more useful than just rolling in, hitting shit, and letting other people deal with the consequences. The way I play, although I am a tiefling bard, so that has limited results.
Well, this is nice. It gives a little bit more depth to your combat abilities rather than just, right, where's the thing? I hit the thing.
Yeah, it's Braveheart with magic. Basically, this whole thing is that pump yourselves up, go in. Oh, but also you're a good leader because you bring people back to life. You can territorially alter the battlefield, which is also pretty useful. And then at 10th level, you get Arcane Rebuke. Rebuke, which is where the magic inside you lashes out, and when a creature forces you to make a saving throw, I think I'm right in saying this, while you're raging, you can use your reaction to deal 3d6 of force damage. So it's basically they grab you or they fire on you and you're like, not today, bitch, and your magic wipes theirs out of the way and takes them out. Boom.
Nice. I like this because this is kind of the, so most people don't want to get up in front of a barbarian, so you tend to put you know, casters against them a lot of the time, from a DM's point of view, to make it a bit more challenging.
Yeah.
Now, what this means is even the casters are going to be afraid to hit you as well, because they can get this hitting back at them. Tasty.
Yeah.
Next up, last but final little element that they've got.
At 14th level, you get Chaotic Fury, which is my rap name. Obviously, you'll all know that.
Yeah, it is. Mine is Sensible Steven.
Yep, that's... those are two words put together. This is basically you become one with wild magic when you're raging. So as a bonus action, you can re-roll on the Wild Surge table that we went through a little bit earlier. And
oh, that's useful.
Yeah, you can replace your current effect with a new one. So it's like, oh, I'm tired of making the ground gravel. Let's do something else. Unibeam.
Yeah, that's nice, because I was thinking, like, you're a lot of the time when you have, you know, D&D crews, you spend a fair amount of time before you go into an area which you know is potentially going to be a bit funky, going, okay, so we'll get in there, you do your blah, I'll do my blah, and we'll buff it up that way, based upon the knowledge that the party has, not necessarily that being the correct knowledge, but their assumptions are whatever they are, right?
Yeah.
And they turn to this barbarian who goes like, right, you're gonna rage, and what's gonna happen? And he's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, something will happen. Yeah, but what? Something will happen. I kind of like it, this Chaotic Fury thing I was reading, and I think it's kind of good, because if you're 14th level, you've been about a bit, chances are you've been to the fucking Feywild a couple of times, and as you become more experienced and you get a better head on your shoulders, it's like, yeah, the Feywild is unpredictable, but I got a bit of a handle on it, so I can change if it's, you know, like I said, if you want to alter one, you've got a bit more of a handle on your Feywild roots, I guess. Oh, pun.
Yeah,
kind of.
That's fair enough. If I suppose if your chaos is so much and so unbridled in a way that is just not helping, then you have the ability to turn it off. Because the thing with rages and the amount that you have, there's actually, there's quite a limited amount. Yes, it lasts for a long time and you keep it going, but if you lose it, it is quite a big resource hit for a barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that if you do this and it's on and you don't want to turn it off, this is really useful for that. Tasty.
Yeah, I think it's just nice. Like, I like that a lot of these subclasses are kind of put like bents on characters or classes, I should say, that have become a little bit pigeonholed. So barbarian, go in, fight, boring, don't want to do that. Well, actually, there's this one, the Primal Path, that's actually a bit more nuanced. It lets you play the character a different way, I guess.
Yeah,
kind of like the...
Do you know what this reminds me of?
Go on.
The in Fairly Odd Parents. Now, this is a very obscure reference.
No, I've seen it. So, go on.
Yeah, okay, so there's a fairy that pops through who's in full commando gear. He's like
Jürgen von Strangl. Jürgen von Strangl.
Yeah, and he obviously speaks like Arnie, and he's fucking huge, but he's ultimately a fairy, right? He's got a little fairy crown, and he's got little fairy rings on the back. That's this guy. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Got that little fae influence all coming in. He just, boom, hi, I've come to be your friend! And then dances away with the unicorns that he usually has.
It reminded me of the Stargazer Druid. I think it was last week we did. It's like, oh, I want to be a druid, but I don't want to be into moss. I want to be into something else. And it opens that up for the druid to go back and listen to. I think it was episode 66. Execute episode 66. Missed that last week.
Nice.
I think it was on that one. Yeah.
Excellent. Wicked. All right. So onwards and upwards. Follow me, if you will, into your anime dreams.
Not again, Ed. Not again.
No, I know. I mean, admittedly, some people's anime dreams are very X-rated. I mean, probably there's a different podcast for that. So, you know, you might be in the wrong area. But for those of you who are still with us after that horrific introduction, welcome to
I've got three titles for that podcast, and they're all horrific.
Yeah, they're all bad. Welcome to The Way of the Astral Self, where you seek to place together your personal way of Exodia. If you remember the Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Yes.
So you are...
You have to get the legs and the arms and the head and shit.
Yes. So the astral self. You're a monk and you're looking to build your own astral self. The head.
Like the ancient one.
The arms.
This is what I had in my notes.
The ancient one. Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Astral projection, but I guess, yeah, the arms and the legs makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, so.
All right, Sam, you've done the reading. No more out of you. Go on, Ed. Bring him back on track.
Or, if you're really into your Naruto, this is your way to do your own personal Susanoo. Or your Dragon Ball Z, this is my final form. Man, there's so many different... If you want to do your anime character, this is the monk that you do it with, right? Just get involved with it. If you want to scream somebody's name as you run up and punch people to death, this is how you do it. Number one, way of the astral self. Third level, you get the arms of the astral self. Goosh, goosh! Those are the arms. Nobody can see what I just did there, but I did a full...
gun show.
Yeah, gun show vibe. Goosh, goosh! So, as well as your normal arms, out pop these astral floating arms that, you know, mellow around your shoulders sort of area. It costs you 2 key points, so it's a little expensive.
Ooh.
But for that, you get 10 minutes of these spectral arms that run around near your shoulders, right? And what happens during this time is... quite frankly, bloody insane. I was trying not to swear there, but still. So this is the fantastic thing about this monk. Usually you have to do a little bit of statistic moving around with a monk, right? You want a bit of strength, you want a bit of wisdom, you want a bit of dex. Whereas you've got people like the rogue and the barbarian, right? The rogue is just, yeah, all I need is dex. And anything else that I put in there, I can just pick and choose. If you're the barbarian monk, barbarian, it's constitution and strength, and that's just your things. With the monk, they're usually sort of sent all over the place. Until now, the arms of the astral self allow you to use your wisdom modifier in place of your strength modifier whilst making strength checks and saving throws and doing attacks. So you're not using your strength modifier, you're using your wisdom modifier, which is bananas.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
really
reach of 10 feet, and you get to, once you spend these 2 key points, you get to get an extra attack, right? So this is taking the flurry of blows and just triggering it for a whole 10 minutes for 2 key points. It's
super useful.
It's bananas. It's over the top and ridiculous, right? But I love it. Fantastic. Next up, then, we get the visage of the astral self, where you pull the head card of Exodia and you put that on, and then poof, you're now
floating head.
Yes, exactly. So you can spend 1 key point to summon your visage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically a helmet element, let's be fair. And what this does now is it gives you advantage on wisdom and charisma checks.
Different from the 80s band Visage that wrote Fade to Grey.
I don't know that song.
We fade to grey. That one.
Great. Still don't know it, but I love the fact that you gave me some of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's a treat for any listeners of a certain age. I know you're out there. I see the listener stats.
I'll go have a listen. So you've got that little wisdom element there. You also have astral sight, which means that you can see normally in darkness and magical and non-magical 120 feet. Take that, warlocks. You're not the only ones that can do it anymore. Get back in your warlocky box. Boom. Next, awakening of the astral self. There's more astral self. What's going on? So, basically, there is more, right? So, you can now, when you get your arms and visage, so both of them, so you're spending 2 points to get your arms, 1 to get your head on.
Geodude.
Yes, it totally is. Excellent. Love that.
Yeah.
You can now do the thing. So, you know when you used to be able to catch arrows and throw them back as a standard monk?
1 key point, yeah.
Yeah, every monk can do this. Boom, what's up? I can now do that with energy. Somebody breathe fire on me because I'm going to catch it and throw it back at you, you bitch. Your arms are better, so when you start hitting with your arms, you can deal 1 extra damage to one extra of your damage dice. Guess what? That's an auto crit. What the hell's going on there?
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
At level 11?
Yeah, at level 11, one of your attacks, you can choose to deal an extra damage die to the target equal to your martial arts die. Undoubtedly, you're not going to be using weapons at this point because your martial arts dies are getting good enough that you can't. And personally, I never use weapons when I'm monking around. Why would I? My hands are just weapons.
Yeah.
I've spent most of this podcast actually in a mock karate pose, I should point out, with both my hands up. I'm not even finished on the awakening of the astral self, Sam. There's more to come. Word of the spirit. Word of the spirit. Which is
word.
Sounds cool. It's kind of more iffy. You can direct your words to a creature of your choice within 30 feet, so only they can hear it. Or you can amplify your voice so creatures within 300 feet can hear you. It's fine. Thaumaturgy is out there, guys. Just get that involved somewhere. Somebody in your party will have it already. Finally, you pull all five cards of Exodia. You complete your Susanoo. You reach Super Saiyan level fucking 100 million. And you complete your astral self. So, starting at 17th level, your astral self is complete. You found your head, your arms, you've put them all on. This is the big one. It takes 10 key points to trigger this, right?
That seems a lot, unless there's a soda stream involved.
Now, don't worry about it. There's a key soda stream coming up. So,
yes,
10
finally.
Key points. Boom, your body gets covered in your astral self, like armor, right?
Avatar form.
Avatar form. It's exactly that sort of stuff. Aang, this is even that. There we go. You get plus two bonus to your AC, because obviously you've got this giant thing over you. You've got an astral barrage. Whenever you use the extra attack feature to attack twice, you can attack three times using your astral arms. So now this is... at that point, you're going three... I think it's six. Six attacks. I think. That's even without It is nutty. That's even without using your flurry of blows. So you chuck your flurry and blows on there as well. I think that's another two, so that's eight. And this is the soda stream part of it, right? So, we've used 10 key points to get us to this point, right? Yeah.
And for reference, how many key points would you likely have at 17?
I actually can't remember, but it's quite a lot. But 10 will deplete it considerably. And when you're out of key points as a monk, you become a normal person a little bit.
You're just a bald bloke in a bathrobe.
Yeah, exactly. So that
just offend a billion people.
I know,
probably.
That is really bad, but let's carry on and gloss over that quite quickly. So those 10 key points, you're like, fucking hell, that is a lot. How am I going to get those back? Oh, look out, there's a soda stream built in my Susanoo armor. Whenever you kill a creature, I lie, it's not even that. Whenever a creature within 10 feet of you is reduced to 0 hit points, you can use your reaction to regain key points equal to your wisdom modifier. Now, at 17th level, knowing that you replace strength with wisdom previously, you're undoubtedly going to have plus 5 on your wisdom. So you're going to get 5 key points back when one person dies. You don't even have to hit that person to do this, so somebody else is going to do it for you, potentially. And if not, that's all the punches that happen. I didn't just, have a mild fit whilst doing this. I'm so excited. That's it. That's the way of the astral self. Oh my gosh.
Love it.
For all you anime lovers out there, or people who
get on it,
who don't necessarily follow that, but think that all sounds bloody brilliant, because it is. Boom! I'm out. That's starter set, baby. Let's bring the show to a goddamn close. Sam, have you got anything you want to say?
No. Stay safe out there, everybody. Wash your hands. It's all good.
Wash your hands. Wash your feet. As always, you have been our listeners. And listeners, we do appreciate your support in these trying times. So if you have enjoyed this episode, please do reach out to your loved ones and send them this show to entertain them and maybe bring them a point of delight. Ring them up and say, hey, have you listened to Starter Set this week? They'll say, no, you usually send me ridiculous links and I never listen to what you send me. Oh, well, this is an awkward conversation, so I'm going to hang up the phone now. Send it to people who are also in the same situation as ourselves, and undoubtedly they will enjoy the show. If they do, bish bash bosh, everyone's happy. Roll well, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Can I show you my point of delight?
I don't know who else got in there. That wasn't great, Mandibles, was it? I'm going to have to go. Bye, everybody.